All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely nobody asked for. Today, as you can see, I am joined by the one, the only, Mr. Niner, Mr. Weston Niner, the man of many rigs, co-part of Beat Not Babied. I should have worn my hat. You know, there's a lot of people that are very jealous that I have one of those hats and they don't. Apparently, they sold out super fast.
Yeah, both times they sold out super fast. And oddly enough, we've got like two or three up on the shelf right there. So if you're needing one,
beatnotbaby.com.
Selfless plug.
Exactly. Fuck yeah, that's what we're here for. Okay, so it has been a while since we chatted. And funny enough, right before we started this, I was doing some video work for Dune and Destroy. And I was watching back one of the videos that I did from Sand Hollow. And you are in the beginning of one of them. So there's a video, What You Missed Last Night. I don't know if you watched any of those, but it was when we met on the roof. There's like a three or five, six second clip of you on the roof. Like, yeah, it was when I first saw you. And I was like, oh, guy.
That was awesome. I have no idea where that house is, but I want to try and get it this year for trail road because that house was awesome.
Dude, so when we went there for the Greater Zion trip, we stayed at that resort and we drove past that house and I was like, "Oh, memories."
Yeah, that was cool. I met so many cool people that night. Levi Shirley, that was pretty dope.
Yep. He's way cooler in person than I thought he would be for sure.
You know, it's humbling and refreshing when you meet people like that in person that are way cooler than, you know, you expected or way more down to earth. You know, like even just getting back from KOH last week and meeting so many more people out there, you know, that's one of my favorite things about the industry for sure. Is just the connections that you make and the people that you meet.
Yeah. So let's get into that. You went to Hammers this year and I did not. Yes. So tell me, how did that go? Did you guys plan to go with like a big group? Because you and Dakota usually go, like you front load the week and then you leave either race day or the day before race day. What was this year like?
So pretty much there was no plans or no organizational skills whatsoever. My fiance and I were just kind of laying in bed one night and she was like, we should go. We should just go. I've never been. I want to see it. We should go. And
you weren't planning on going. Let's go.
Yeah, I wasn't really planning on going at all.
Oh, wow.
And I took zero merch. I took zero stickers. I took absolutely no responsibilities whatsoever. And I got to say, that was probably the best part of the whole trip.
I bet,
because
dude,
I had no plans, no responsibilities, nothing. I just wanted to go and have a good time. And it honestly kind of ended up turning into a shit show.
We did talk about it briefly, but I'd love to rehash that with you.
So we get there.
What day did you get there?
We got there Wednesday. We left Tuesday. We stayed in Kingman the night Tuesday because it's about a 12-hour trip for us. And I'm over trying to make that in one hit, you know, just because you either get there super early or super late.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get there in the dark trying to find my buddy's camp or nothing.
And tired as fuck.
Yeah. Burnt out already. Yeah. So, you know, stayed in Kingman, had Cracker Barrel for breakfast, you know,
took it real easy. Nice.
and made it out there at about 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon.
Nice.
Got everything set up, pulled the buggy off the trailer, noticed right away that my shocks were sitting really low on the buggy. So I was like, oh, okay. No, that's going to be a problem, I'm sure.
Yeah. Do you carry nitrogen with you?
So I loaded the buggy up on the trailer and I was looking at it and I was like, man, that belly pan looks kind of low. And I looked in the shop and I saw my nitrogen bottle hidden behind my cherry picker and my hoist and my jacks and all this wood.
Everything else.
Yeah. Four unused bead locks in the corner. I was like, someone's going to have nitrogen on the lake bed. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And had I known that if I would have tried to fill up my shocks there, I would have known that the seals were actually blown and I would have unloaded the buggy and put my side-by-side on instead because I didn't end up wheeling at all.
You got one of those.
Yeah, so, the seals, I guess, are just shot And I ended up putting 300 PSI in them, which, you know, should have lifted it ungodly high and right. super stiff, but it just bottomed out. So.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. That so, and of course,
sucks.
You know, I went to Fox, I went to King, I went to ADS, I went to Radflow. Nobody had any shocks. Nobody had rebuild kits, or, you know, that they weren't saving for the racers and stuff.
You were just going to like straight up buy another set.
Yeah. I had cash in hand. I was just going to buy a set of shocks Holy there shit, bolt them on and try to wheel something, but it yeah. didn't work out.
So. Oh, that's shitty, man.
Yeah, but nobody has shocks right now. Like my buddy Phil, you know, nobody has shocks in such a national shortage right now.
Yeah.
You know, even build sheets are out like 12 weeks on them. So who knows?
That's insane. And that's not great because one of the last things I have to do for my YJ is get shocks. Granted, they're just like regular, like leaf springs and regular shocks, but I'm not, I was going to try and get some Bilsteins, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to be able to get any, but.
I happen to know Bill Steen, so I'll see if I can get you hooked up.
You do know Bill Steen?
Selfless plug.
Selfless plug. All right, so you get it. You pull it off the trailer. You're like, I'm fucked. What happens next? What happens after that?
So, yeah, that night, the generator dies, so I'm making any power.
First
you know,
night.
My camper's going to... Yeah, first night. And I'm screwing with it, and I'm pissed off because I was like, I knew I should have gone to Harbor Freight and bought another cheap little generator because I knew this was going to happen. And Kyle Falls, shout out to Kyle Falls, ends up walking over to me and says, like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, you know, I'm pissed off. And I'm like, oh, my generator's dead and all this. And he's like, well, that's why I walked over, man. So I got this backup generator that's actually my backup generator. And he's like, I was planning on selling it anyway. You want to buy it? And I was like, yeah, dude. How much? He's like, I don't know, $400. And so,
damn.
Shout out Kyle Falls, man. You saved my ass on that one.
That's amazing.
And if you don't know Kyle Falls, or if any of you guys don't follow Kyle Falls, go check him out. He's got one of the sweetest rigs I've ever seen for hauling.
What's his Instagram so I can find it?
GM4 buggy, I think it is. G4M buggy.
Oh, Jeep 4M?
No, GM 4 buggy.
GM. Yeah. GM. I'm assuming it'll buggy. Just pop up. GM4, like the number 4. Oh, I found it.
Yeah.
Oh,
super cool dude.
That's follow.
We've talked to him for years, you know, posted his stuff, met him at Hammers a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, so it's a tube phone. Chassis just with body panels and doors on it.
Yeah.
It's blurring it out. It's not born. It's not born.
But it's a Peterbilt semi with a flatbed on it. And he puts his buggy on the flatbed. And then he pulls a triple axle toy hauler behind it with his wife's buggy in it.
Dude, that
is
sick.
The epitome of crawler haulers. I'll send you a picture so you can post it on your page.
Yeah,
this.
For sure. All I see is pictures of his buggy on yeah. this. Yeah,
but
send me a picture.
It is my new life goal to have
that's
that rig.
That's sick.
Holy crap.
But you just sold the one that you had. You had the White Buffalo?
The Great White Buffalo.
Were you just done fucking with it?
Honestly, man, like... It was cool and I loved it, but I've had a ton of plumbing issues and like well issues with my house lately.
Uh-huh.
Like I dropped $4,000 on putting a new pump in my well, and tomorrow I got to drop $3,500 on a water heater. So,
oh, dude,
and like all the plumbing and stuff like that. So
that
I was just like,
terrible.
You know, something around here has got to go.
Yeah.
And Buffalo made the most sense because I can't take it through a drive-through. I can't park it in a normal parking spot. I drive it twice a year, you know.
Right. Just so. To stunt on everybody in the city you live in. Just drive it
yeah,
around.
Essentially,
a couple times.
It was just for my kid to be like, we have a monster truck.
Yeah.
he aside from like me being super hurt, he was pretty hurt too. He's like, why are you selling the monster truck? I'm sorry.
I'll build it, I promise. Yeah, he'll get used to that. So yeah. You got the generator, still don't have anything to wheel at Hammers.
What happens next? Drove around, tried to find shocks, tried to find stuff like that. We parked, went into Hammertown, ran into Chuck and Mason, went to the trailer where they were prepping for the race. Talked to Martin Castro with Dustin Eisenhower. Talked to my buddy Martin with Milestar.
Martin Castro.
And we walk back to the buggy after that, and I got a flat tire on the buggy. So
you drove it with no pressure in the shocks from camp to Hammertown.
Yeah, we were just bottoming out everywhere we went. We would hit a bump that big and just slam the bottom of the shocks.
I bet that was not comfortable.
That wasn't the most fun, no.
That fucking sucks. And then a tire went flat.
Tried to plug it. Didn't work. Went back to camp. Threw my spare on. And by then, it was like Friday, you know, like 11 o'clock. And I'd pretty much had enough. Like, this is lame.
Yeah. Everything is going wrong.
Yeah. So now we ended up leaving a day early, stayed in Kingman Friday night again. Just took our time going back. So you know, overall, it was a safe and easy trip. It wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
Spent way too much money. But, you know, I have no real complaints because I made it home alive. I got some sweet swag.
There you go. Oh, that's a nice graphic. I like that.
Oh, dude, their new hoodies are sick. I love them.
Fuck yeah. So
I love that everybody's going back to, like, the retro style of things. That's my favorite.
I love that. So you didn't break anything on the buggy, which was good, but you also didn't wheel the buggy, which is the reason why you didn't break anything.
I didn't break anything on the buggy by wheeling. The buggy was just broken. So, yeah, you know, not a win, not a lose.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
So, what other trips do you guys have planned? Is there anything, are you kind of just like, oh, I'll just go wheeling this weekend, or do you have stuff that's planned out for the rest of the year?
I'm kind of at the mercy of the market right now, depending on shocks. I'm hoping by like this weekend, I'll have the OG green Jeep running again.
Nice.
Maybe I can wheel that one.
What all needs to happen
Dakota,
with that?
I didn't blow. My buddy Parker Rossi, when he came down and drove the Jeep last summer, he blew a hydraulic line on the steering.
Okay, that's an easy fix. Easy fix.
That one's easy. The rear suspension's still kind of wonky. It'll want to, like, just roll you over on your lid for no reason.
Yeah.
And then transmission pan gasket, because it hemorrhaged all of its oil out of it after Parker drove it, so...
Is it an automatic?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that? An hour or two job?
Yeah, I'll probably have to drop the cross member.
That's true.
I've wheeled it so bad that the pan is absolutely smashed to hell. So I might have to find a new pan cover. I don't know yet. We'll see.
Cause it won't hold the same amount of oil in it. Cause it's all dented to fuck.
Yeah. So I'm sure the transmission is just angry regardless.
It's got half the recommended oil in it.
I just overfill it and call it good.
Exactly. Yeah. A little spilling out the top. Fill it up the fill tube. That's why it's so long.
You know, funny enough, that's what I do on my buggy. I overfill the oil and the transmission fluid.
When
you get on these crazy angles, you know.
That's true.
It's supposed to keep it from oil starvation. I read that on Pirate Forum a long time ago. So.
No shit. Are you on the new version of Pirate Irate?
Is that the one on Facebook?
No, it's like an act like Irate 4x4 Pirate without
the
P. Yeah. So they took, somebody did a podcast on it. Pirate got sold to some other company, but then this web developer guy like took a copy of all the data that was on the website before they shut it down or whatever, and then just changed it over to something else. So all that stuff is still alive on the internet.
That's awesome. That's so good to hear.
Yeah. I created
spent hours scouring that.
Right? It's still such a resource. I created an account, but I haven't really been. I got so much other shit going on. I don't have time to scroll forums like I used to.
Do you have any of like the details on who owns it or who's doing that now?
I'll have to text it to you. I know there's the guy. I know the guy's name. I can't think of it. He was on a podcast with Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like they did a whole episode with him.
I would love to get in contact with him because I've got some harebrained ideas about some content for that. And I'd love to donate or contribute or something, you know?
Yeah. B-
I'm sure, you know, half of the off-road community has lived on that page.
Right? Well, the older part of the community. I guarantee you there's a bunch of these Facebook cats that don't even know what pirate is.
These kids these days, man.
These kids these days. All the people over 50 right now are like cussing at us right now.
The boomers are angry.
very angry. So have you guys met up with Joe and Erica Yell? Do you know who they are? You said Kingman, and that made me think of them because they live in Kingman.
Man, I don't know. If I have,
you've probably met them. We'll have to get you guys linked up. They're fucking hilarious. Me and Lamb Chop have been talking about going to hang out with them for 3 or 4 years now.
Cool.
They're a fucking riot. So are you doing any vendor shows this year? Like as Beat Not Baby? No?
Probably just Trail Hero. Okay. When it comes around.
What's that, October?
October.
Okay.
That's really only the big trip I have planned this year. Dakota's going to someplace in Arizona or Colorado next month. And,
for an off-road thing? EJS.
Yeah, just him and, my buddy Matt, Barella, and I think maybe Bennett. I think they're just going to hit like a pretty gnarly trail out there somewhere.
Okay.
But I can't make that because I've got a conference for work I have to go to in Texas.
Who was just in Texas? Kyle Neubauer was just in Texas.
Yeah.
What's with all these conferences in Texas? He went to the ag thing, the SEMA Ag.
The Ag Expo?
Yeah.
I think that was in California, actually, because I was supposed to go to that for my job.
I thought it was in Texas.
Really?
I could have sworn it was.
The one I was thinking of, it was supposed to be in. The one I was supposed to go to is like going on right now in California.
Oh.
And it's basically the SEMA of farming.
He posted a picture of like some autonomous like sprayer that had four-wheel steer and looked like a Tesla truck.
Yeah, the spreader. Yeah.
That's fucking nuts, dude.
Dude, it's the technology is getting wild anymore. Soon we'll have, you know, rock crawlers that are RC, and we'll just drive our rock crawler up Chocolate Thunder and just be standing there drinking beer. Which I'm all for. That sounds fucking awesome.
True. Imagine flipping over a $30,000 RC car.
Well, at least nobody would get out all drunk and want to get in a fight over it.
That's true.
Like we've seen on all these videos, man.
Oh, nobody my will God. Die, those are so bad. Bunch of fucking idiots.
Dude, so I was talking to a security guard out there at KOH this year, and he said that they were expecting anywhere from 140 to 160,000 people through the gate this year.
What?
So to say it was a zoo is an understatement.
Like more busy than years past?
Yeah, I remember we went in like 2019, and people were freaking out that like 70 or 80,000 people showed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've essentially doubled that now. It was nuts.
Hopefully Hammer King puts out how many people they actually process through the gate, because I'd be interested in that number for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But it was really cool, though, because they had so many attendees and made so much extra money that they actually crossed out the original numbers on the checks for the racers and upped the ante price.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool.
I watched the live feed all of Saturday. Like, that's what was on the TV. I don't give a shit, kids. We're not watching anything other than this right now. And they said late in the day, like, we got so much shit that we're going to up the ante for the racers. And I was like, that's cool.
I'm happy to see that it's going to them instead of just, you know, into people's pockets. So that's really cool.
Somebody brought up a good point. They're like, would you rather see it go to the racers, land use, or volunteers? And I was like, ooh, that's actually good. But my problem with giving it to volunteers is that then people, if they're incentivized with money, it kind of takes away from the, you know, there are thousands of volunteers that volunteer because they fucking love it. I feel like adding money into it brings another sort of volunteer in that you might not want.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get corruption either way. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to see it go to the racers because they're the ones that are really going through the shit, man.
they're the reason that we're watching or that we go to the lake bed, period.
Yeah. And that is, you know, after talking with Chuck and Martin and all those guys getting ready for the race, like it's no walk in the park. Like you have no idea the amount of detail and time and just overall attention that a car needs to just pass the tech line, much less pass the finishing gates, you know. It's nuts.
Did you ever find out what happened to their car? I texted Mason, but I haven't heard back from her.
No,
because I saw them at the top of I can't remember what it was, but they were working on something. They were stopped.
Yeah, no, I don't know exactly what happened.
Dang. Yeah, I was when I saw them come off the finish line. I was like, I know who's in the passenger seat.
I know that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's going on with the classic OG, the green Jeep? Is that still up for sale, or are you going to keep it in the stable for a while?
Nah, I ain't going to sell that one, man. The OG's got to stay here.
Yeah, let it rot in your front yard.
Huh?
Let it rot in your front yard.
Oh, yeah, I'll gut it and then just put the chassis, like, in the yard for the kid to play in or something.
Put some flower pots in there.
Sell it. Yeah. No, my new goal is now with the kid is to throw a back seat in it and let that be, like, you know, our little family wheeler.
Nice.
If I can, you know, make it safe enough and make sure that the kid's up on all of his tetanus shots.
Oh, right. Got to cut some pointy edges off body panels.
Oh, dude, I could go through like 4 or 5 flap discs at this point, I guarantee you.
Holy shit.
It's just little things like welding the A-pillar back together because it's completely broken in half and straightening the bent tubes in places.
But the whole back is tube, right? So all you need to do is add a couple bars and tabs and you can put a seat in?
So it's got a cage all the way through it. So it's got A, B, C, and D-pillars all the way through it. It's tied into the suspension and the stiffeners and stuff like that. So it's solid all the way across. I would just like to add some more tubing to make sure that he's fully protected.
Right.
And then, just stab like a PRP seat or something in it.
Yeah.
Have a kid's PRP seat. I think that'd be dope.
Yeah, a little third seat.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So how has Beat Not Babied been doing? You guys are still pumping out the contents.
You know, oddly enough, man, we were coming back from King of the Hammers, and I got this random message from a kid named Thomas Gray. I think it's Thomas Gray. Let me check. Thomas Gray. He's been a follower for a while. Talked to him a couple times, and he's like, hey, man, you need to go on the site and order more Trail Bob stickers because you're sold out. And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I posted a TikTok video and it went viral.
Oh, shit.
So I came. Yeah, dude, I come back home and I have over 100 orders. Like selling so many Trail Bobs because this kid posted a TikTok video and it went viral. Yeah.
What's the, did you repost a TikTok?
I haven't yet. I just had him send it to me today. So
I don't think I've seen this one. What's his TikTok?
Let me see what it is. His TikTok is submarine_sexj.
Nice. All right. Submarine.
Yeah, he's just
underscore.
He's parked right next to like a JK or something, and it has the trail rated badge on it. He's like, whatever. And like pans over to the trail bob, and it was all over.
Oh, is that his? That's his pinned one? Hold on. Let me see this real quick.
Yeah, it's got like 900,000 views or something.
Trail
like
rated. So, oh my god, 140.
Go give that kid a follow, man.
145,000 likes. Dude, that's insane.
Yeah, nuts.
Wow, I'm gonna have to follow him.
I literally did on the drive home from KOH. I had to order more Trail Bob stickers.
Oh, that is insane.
Yeah, that's I've been doing nothing but orders for since Monday. Like that's all I've been doing is orders. And I'm like, I'll knock out like 40 of them in one day and then I'll wake up and then it's right back up to where it was. So.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. That's a great feeling.
Yeah, no, I need to buy this kid like a whole case of beer or something. I don't know.
Is he old enough to have beer?
I hope so. He's getting it either way.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm so fucking amped for you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, oddly enough, during the pandemic, everybody got their their stimulus checks, and man, we were booming.
Yeah.
People loved, you know, buying a hoodie or a hat or stickers or something with their stimulus checks. So yeah, we did good during the pandemic. So
how do you do with making new shit? Cause that's something I really, really struggle with. Like, I'll have nothing for months, like a year, and then I'll have two or three decent ideas that never really take off. And then it's just like dry again.
Yeah, dude, that's just how it is. You know, this is going to sell. People are going to love this. And it totally flops. You're like, okay, I guess I'm an idiot. Just right? Like that post that you made a few days ago.
The TikTok, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, just like the trail bob, dude. Like, I was just farting around one day and I was like, you know, I'd seen the memes and everything everywhere. I was like, man, that's a pretty good one. And,
yeah.
You know, and then I went up with the Patrick mall rated one and then the goofy one.
Yep.
Like, you think, like, eh, it's kind of funny. We'll see what happens. And then you sell 1,000 of them in one day. So,
yeah. Weird. My thing is, like, I did these mock light ones, like Becca Drew. She made fake ones. Dude, I spent $500 to get those. You can see them right here. All right here.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I've sold maybe 3 or 4 packs of them. I was like, this is hilarious. Fuck all of you.
Yeah, you don't appreciate anything, people. No,
exactly. Look like at what I'm bringing to you.
Yeah, my latest one was a total flop, too. I came up with these, like, Bash Bros, where we made, like, Mario and Luigi, in the buggy.
Oh, nice.
Got one of Dakota's rig, too, and I thought, oh, like, people can participate, you know? Like,
yeah,
they buy one, they slap it on the rig, they tag us, and then we'll make one of theirs, and they'll be one of the Bash Bros. And, like,
yeah.
I sold like maybe 30 of them.
Oh, that's tough.
But my buddy Gaddy Terry is getting a sticker made of his because he participated and did it right. So I'm making his for sure.
Hell yes. Hell yeah. I cut up with him on Instagram a day or two ago, I think.
Yeah.
I like following him.
Yeah, he does some crazy stuff. I love that video of him sailing that freaking XJ over that jump and just blowing it all to pieces.
Yes. How often do people send you videos that suck?
90% of the time.
Really? Is it people who are just like hitting a curb, like in a parking lot, and they're like, "Be my baby."
I can't tell you how many videos I've received of kids in Rangers, like high school kids in Rangers, like doing donuts in a wet parking lot. Like there's no smoke. There's no nothing. I'm like crash into a light pole or something. Yeah. Man. Like you got to do better. And like
make it
no
good,
disrespect, you know, because like we were high school kids and we were like,
oh, for sure.
Hardcore, so,
but you're like, at no like, you're at a level of carnage and chaos with Beat Not Baby that donuts in a wet parking lot just is not going to cut it.
You know, and I try to be as fair to everybody. Like, you send me a video, I'll at least throw it on the story. You know what I mean? Because then at least it's content. People can look at something while they're at work on the shitter.
Right.
You know, bored. So they got something to look at. But yeah, like, it's getting hard because we've gotten to this point where, like, we can't just post mediocre stuff no more. It has to be ridiculous or, like, you know, the most beautiful rig you've ever seen or the most crazy carnage or something like that.
Yeah,
like that's the only stuff that gets engagement nowadays.
It's true.
So it's tough. And of course, you know, all the algorithms or whatever with Instagram, it's been messed up for so many years. So
yeah,
you know, you have all these obstacles you've got to overcome as a you know, producer, but you know, what do you do?
Yeah, have you been finding that when people are commenting back and forth on the post that the engagement goes up? Or is it just
does.
Okay, that's what I've been seeing. Yeah. If you post something that people are talking with each other about, then the algorithm starts showing it to more people, like, oh, these people are talking. You might want to see this too.
Yeah, so exactly.
It doesn't like likes doesn't cut it anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's so weird and it's so backward. And that's why like I'm trying to get a breakthrough with TikTok going, because it seems like because it's an app that isn't generated in our country, it doesn't have the same algorithms that Instagram and Facebook do. So like, you know, you can have stuff hit that viral spectrum a lot easier if it just gets a little bit of a push or a little bit of engagement.
But, yeah. I found out
trying to be funny and creative,
right?
And, you know, be relevant all at the same time. It's impossible if you have, you know, a full-time job and kids and stuff like that.
Thank you. Exactly. I found when I first,
yeah, you get it.
When I first got on TikTok, there were a couple things they got that had like 40 or 50,000. And for me, that's a big fucking deal. So it's, I haven't seen that recently. I think they changed the algorithm again, but just because not a lot of people were using it. But yeah, TikTok is, I can't even pretend to understand how that works. And it's very frustrating. So I kind of just like throw shit on there. Like maybe this will work. Maybe this. Yeah. Like one of the first ones I posted is at 290,000. So that's,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
great. Just it's an old video that I had posted on Facebook or Instagram like 3 or 4 years ago that I just saved. And when I first started TikTok, I was like, well, I don't really have anything to do. So here, have this.
And I've gotten to the point, like, I don't see the relevance of like taking crazy good videos on a crazy good camera and then spending hours and hours and hours editing and changing and like making it perfect.
Yep.
When like, it's just as good to like shoot something on an iPhone and then post it, like, you know, and like, to me, like in the original, like roots of how, like we started all this stuff, like, I think it's better, you know, because it's more raw,
right?
You know, like you don't,
it's not as produced.
It's not Truck Night in America where you've got to make sure you get all your sponsors on there and you know, all the editing's perfect and stuff. Like you got all the right angles. No, it's just like, you know, a couple of rednecks out in the woods doing dumb shit. Like look at Whistling Diesel.
Oh my
like,
God.
You're gonna tell me what are his production costs, you know? And he's huge. He's everywhere. And it makes me
four GoPros.
Yeah, dude.
That's what his cost is.
Yeah. I've spent so much money on a GoPro and I shoot all of this video on a GoPro and then I don't end up doing anything with it. Cause I'm just like, I can't edit it or I can't, you know, like
as much as it hurts my feelings as a video guy to say that the stuff I was just looking at, there's a YouTube channel that's like way bigger than mine at this point. And all they're shooting with is a GoPro and like a little LED light like this. And it hurts my motherfucking feelings so bad. Cause I'm like, I'm over here with fucking thousands of dollars worth of cameras, multiple cameras, huge fucking lights. And I'm still fucking eating shit. What's the point? I'm gonna go trade in my old iPhone 8. I'm gonna get an iPhone 13, and I'm gonna be fucking YouTube famous, man. This is bullshit.
Yeah, dude, exactly. I've got to get breakthrough on YouTube because that's where it's at. I have not put shit on YouTube, so.
And YouTube especially does not like that. If you're not uploading weekly on YouTube, they're like, "Fuck you, dude."
Yeah, they're like, what happened? What are you doing? Do you even care?
Exactly. Who are you? Nobody's home. Go away. We're not showing this to anybody.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
But we love it. We love doing it. So, like, yeah, nobody's going to watch it, but I had fun doing it, so fuck it.
Yeah, and that's where you got to keep it. You know, you got to entertain yourself and nothing else and just hope that, you know, other people find you entertaining too.
Exactly, yeah. Like, this is a break for me after spending 9 hours at work doing mind-numbing bullshit to come home and do this and talk to my friends about off-road stuff. That makes me happy.
Yeah, well, just like I was texting you a while ago, like, let me wrap up this meeting that I'm doing in about 15 minutes.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is our escape.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You, not recently, but you have a new position now. You have a new job.
Yeah, I'm doing something totally different. I was doing the farming, and then last year I got in a real bad car accident in one of my tractors. I got rear-ended by a drunk driver. He was doing 70 miles an hour. I was doing 18.
That's fucking nuts, dude. Lucky you're alive.
It was no bueno. For sure. And it really messed up my back. Spent a lot of time, you know, in bed, feeling sorry for myself, in a lot of pain. Shout out to my fiance for keeping me sane during all that, for sure.
Grounded.
And then out of nowhere, this job position kind of just fell in my lap, you know, and knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. And basically what I'm doing is going around New Mexico looking for what they call feedstock, which in this case is cow manure. to run a biogas plant that they want to build in New Mexico that's going to be an additive to propane. So it's going to be like cleaner burning propane. It's all part you know, green gas, net zero, zero carbon output, stuff like that. So it's better for the environment, stuff like that. But
yeah,
I still get to, you know, work with farmers, work with dairymen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do most of my work out of my house now. I'll travel around New Mexico in the car. So, you know, no more shovel work, no more back breaking.
Yeah.
Horrible manual labor. So it's easier on me. It's good pay. You know, it worked out.
That's awesome, man. I know you were you were having a hard time there for a while, because that's not fucking easy work, and it's not doesn't pay the most.
Ah, dude, you know, and it's even worse when things out of your hand you can't control.
Yeah,
you know, play such a big factor. Like right now, New Mexico's in a terrible drought, so you know, there's not a farmer in the entire state that isn't suffering. You know, we're all wondering if we're gonna have any crops next year because it's so dry.
Damn, how long has it been since it rained last, or rained enough to do anything?
So we don't rely on rain on our crops. Like we're not wetland farmers, we're dry land farmers. So we use acequias and ditches and, you know, stuff like that that run along the river.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of the farmland is right along the river valley, and we'll use the runoff from the high mountains up north to irrigate everything.
Okay.
It's all flood irrigation out here. And so, yeah, we don't get enough snow up in the high mountains in the winters anymore to feed the valleys and their flood irrigation.
So it can rain like as much as it wants, but if there's no snow in the mountains that's melting, it's not coming down.
Yeah, so like,
I gotcha.
If I've got a big crop of alfalfa and it rains 6 inches on me, it ruins my crop. Because now the ground isn't dry enough for me to cut my crop, or if I have my crop cut down and then it rains, well, then it just ruined all my hay. You
know? Right.
Like it's a lot different than a lot of people think. So we need all the moisture up north so that we irrigate it, you know, structured and handle it there.
That tells you as much as I know about farming.
Well, and it's a lot different in places, you know, like back east and stuff like that, where it is all just, you know, precipitation, you know, rainfall farming. You know, it just, it rains and it's green and there's constant moisture and you just cut and bale and do whatever, whenever. But out here in the desert, it's totally different.
Yeah. That's crazy. See, I like learning like random shit like that. Now I can go to work and stunt on my coworkers and be like, it's not wetland farming in New Mexico, you fucking idiot.
Not around here anyway.
That's fucking crazy, man. So what's the next product you're putting out? Hoodie, hat?
I've got some ideas rolling around in my little brain for hopefully something will show up this week, and it kind of ties into that pirate forum.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the little
I do very much so
guy, yeah. So, gonna drop a sticker on that.
Hell yeah. And honestly, I'll keep an eye out for that.
The whole reason that I'm doing the sticker on that is because this kid on the Facebook page is kind of being a dick about it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make the stickers then. But
those are my favorite stickers.
I can get tied into the guy that's actually doing it and maybe kick him a little cash for like, you know, some donations or something to actually bringing it back for us, you know?
So yeah.
I'd love to be a part of that for sure.
Hell yeah.
Then, I hit up APOC Design.
Dude.
Alan Close. Yeah,
I swear to God, if you get in front of me in line, I'm going to be so upset.
Oh, no.
So upset.
You waiting on him too?
Yes.
Well, sorry.
Damn it, Bobby. What is it going to be?
I'm not going to give you the details
God
yet.
God damn it. Only like four people listen to this podcast.
I really hope that we talked on the phone for a good 20 minutes about it. So I think he's really got a good grasp on what my idea is.
Oh, but, so you've already gonna, had the art involve, meeting.
Yeah. I already made the deposit, already sent him the inspiration photos.
Bastard.
Stuff like that. Yeah. No, it's going to be true Neanderthal OG Green Jeep wheeling. So
I'm so excited.
It's gonna have the It's going to have the green Jeep in it, so I hope people love it.
Are you doing, like, full, like, shirts, hoodies, stickers, like, the whole nine?
Everything. Yeah, I'm dropping everything. I'm pouring all my side cash into it, and I'm going to make it legit.
Side cash, what is that? Is that French for something?
Yeah, it's all the pennies that I find in the Walmart parking lots when I'm trying to find toilet paper on the shelves.
I need to finish this damn YJ so I can start funneling money into, like, apparel and shit. Because I feel like there's a market for it, but I never have anything in stock. Like, I haven't had hats in, like, a year and a half. It's frustrating.
I haven't even been able to find people that, like, have hats in stock. Like, there's a local place here in town that I've been having do, like, a few of my embroidered hats and stuff like that. Yeah. And they can't even get any hats, like, in to do it.
That's what Doug was telling me, yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird. The supply chains all across the board are just weird and screwed up, so it sucks.
All of our hats are sitting at, Long Beach port on a fucking boat.
Waiting to be offloaded. Just hope they weren't in the crate that, you know, fell off and went in the ocean.
Did that happen?
I saw a picture the other day of, like, somehow a big stack of those Connex boxes got knocked over and, like, some of them went into the pier or something.
Oh, my God, dude.
So,
it was actually, they were, like, docked?
I think it was a ship on the dock and, like, somehow they got knocked over. But
they're trying to crane it off and hit something.
That's where the shots are. That's where the hats are. That's where,
That was the Bilstein and Fox Connex box right there. It's fucking at the bottom of the ocean.
Ship, man.
Exactly. God damn it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So how have you been liking that buggy that you have? Because you are a big guy. You're wide, you're tall, your steering wheel's like big.
Yeah, so I had to order the smallest steering wheel I could find in stock. It's a 13-inch steering wheel, just so that it wasn't in my knees.
Right.
It's a 2-foot buggy. You know, you operate the gas and the brake independently with each foot.
I did not know this. I don't know dick about buggies at all. Especially that was the lizard. What's his name? I can't remember.
Yeah, Thomas.
Yes.
Thomas Fabin 01. Yeah, so
that's what it is.
It's like, if I remember right, it's like the third or fourth chassis he ever built.
Oh, wow.
And he called it the OG Lurch. And he called it the Lurch because he added 6 inches in the roof bar for bigger dudes.
Oh. And
I bought it from a guy that was like 3 inches taller than me, but he was, you know, scrawny, gangly dude.
Right.
And he fit fine. I'm a little, you know, thicker and I fit in there pretty tight. But
do you rub shoulders with the passenger?
My fiance, no, because she's little, but like if you hopped in there with me, yeah, we would probably be pretty intimate. So, honestly, I love it. I love the thing. I love that it's, essentially a Cherokee, a ship box, because I've got a full set of spare parts in the yard.
Yeah.
Are
you pretty comfortable with how it moves? And if you turn this much at this angle, you know what it's going to do? Or are you still trying to feel it out?
Oh yeah, no, that thing is beyond planted. Like it's so stable and it's so well built in Thomas's aspect. You know, the way he builds those machines, the way he builds you a rolling chassis, like the geometry on all of those chassis, like they're just they're next level, dude. Like I am waiting for the day that he just explodes because he is producing some of the coolest buggies out there.
Yeah, I love following him on social.
Oh, yeah. He's such a good dude, man. I saw him at KOH. You know, every time I see him, it's fucking hugs and cheers and drinks. Nice. You know, it's just, I love that dude. Yeah, he's such a great guy.
Hell yeah.
And I'm finally getting, you know, all the bugs worked out of that one when I got it. You know, the head gaskets were bad, so it was overheating.
What motor's in there?
It's really bad. It's a 4.0.
Okay.
And, you know, just it had a ton of issues from the previous owner that, you know, I feel like were neglected or, you know, not done right. So I spent a lot of time fixing a lot of stuff on it. But, you know, I think now that I get everything dialed in, I think it's going to be a killer for sure.
Are you going to hang on to that one for a while?
I think so. I mean, the only thing I can imagine doing is pulling the drivetrain and axles and everything out of it and putting them on one of Thomas's updated chassis.
Okay.
That's really the only thing I can doing, but
yeah,
pocketbook says no on that one, so
all the house taking all your money says no.
yeah, dude.
That's a fucking house shit, dude. Always so expensive.
Yeah, nah, it's, but you know, you need it.
True. And it's if you neglect it, yeah, if you neglect it now, it's only going to get worse. So what are you daily driving now? I know you don't really drive that much for work, but if you got to go to the grocery store or if you got to go pick up Band-Aids at CVS, what are you driving?
To my, you know, to not be exactly proud of it, I've got a 2013 Ford Escape. A little four-door
is it
car,
the most comfortable thing that you have right now in the stable?
Dude, it's awesome. I can park it in any parking spot. Like, even if somebody parks like an asshole, I can still
exactly
squeeze in there. It gets 25 miles to the gallon.
There is no shame in that shit, man.
But you know, it is turbo. It's a little four-cylinder turbo, so like, it's still
that's
kind
amazing.
Of fun to drive, you know. But yeah, I take the kid to daycare in it, you know, I go to Walmart in it.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to the house. And then like when I go to leave, I'll hop in my ridiculous Dodge or the black truck or something, you know, just to kind of like mob in something else. But yeah, right. Like, I drive the shit out of that little car, man. Saves me so much money.
Hell yeah. That Michelle Civic that I've been driving for the past couple years, that thing's almost at 250K. I'm going to drive that thing till the fucking motor blows up, dude.
Hell yeah.
So that's been to Tennessee, New Jersey, Kentucky. Well, that thing's been everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah. So
you need to print a sticker and put it on the back and just be like, my other vehicle will outcrawl yours or something.
Yeah, I have my other that one says my other Jeep is a Jeep, but yeah, I should make that one.
Okay, well, I thought of it first, so that's my sticker.
There you go. You can have the whole stack because nobody's fucking buying them.
Oh, no.
This whole table. The whole table.
It's all right. Yeah, my entire desk over here on this side is just stacks and stacks and stacks of stickers.
One day they'll all sell. One day. So,
you know, I've got half a mind to just go to like a bank and pull out like a $20,000 business loan and just like really get upside down on some crazy stuff.
Dude,
and try and,
I have been, you know, thinking about that nonstop for like the past 5 years.
Dude, it's tough. You know, you see these companies like Troll Clothing and like all these guys, like they just explode. And it's like, man, how, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and the best part about it is like, I buy their stuff too. Like I have their hats, I have their hoodies. Like they have good products.
Yeah.
You know? So they're doing it exactly right. It's just, how do we do it too? You know, it's... It's tough. Like, and even just finding, like, for my part, finding a reliable production company or apparel company that, you know, does, you know, like my shirts, my hats, my hoodies, like in the colors that I want, in the styles that I want, in the sizes that I want. Like, I don't have the time to do all of that myself. I've done it before. I'm going to do it again with these APOC designs. Yeah, dude, exactly. Like,
haven't
so
touched
it
in 2 years, dude. 2 years, yeah. I haven't touched that shit.
Exactly. So it's tough, you know, like I'm such a stickler because, you know, I hate it when I get that message from somebody that bought something off of Teespring and they're like, yo, this is garbage.
Yes.
And I'm like,
that's why I refuse to use Teespring. Yeah.
I know, dude.
I'd rather have nothing, honestly. And that's what's, I'm shooting myself in the foot. But I'd rather have nothing than someone message me and be like, hey, this print fucking sucks, or it washed out on the third wash. I'm like, well, I can't. You want a refund, I guess?
And
I don't fucking know.
And it's hard, too, because companies like that don't work with the producer. You know, you have to tell the customer, like, okay, you have to contact them and you have to, like, resolve this issue. And they're like, well, it's your fucking product. How come you don't do it? And I'm like,
exactly. Like, you literally can't.
I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they will tell me to tell you to call them. So
exactly.
It's so hard. Yeah.
Yeah. That third party shit. I tried it once or twice with Teespring specifically. And I was just like, this is not where it's at, man. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. We were on Teespring for 7 years.
Yeah.
However long it was. It started with just hats and then it went to a full line of everything. And like, it's bad when I order the shirts and I hate them. You know what I mean? Like,
just as like a
like
test.
I'll order, Yeah, I'll order a shirt after I drop a new design and I get it. I'm like, it doesn't fit worth a damn. It's scratchy. Like, it feels like I'm putting on a burlap sack and somebody just glued a shitty sticker to the front.
Yeah, those cheap Gildan shirts are fucking trash, dude. You know,
but then at
trash.
The same time, like, that's the only way you can sell a shirt for a reasonable price. You know, like, even those, they charge $25 for plus shipping.
Yep.
And like, okay, so I want a shirt that's like, you know, like the new True Classic shirts that are coming out. Like, that's the most comfortable shirt I have ever worn.
Yeah.
But for me to buy those shirts and then put my designs on them, I'd have to charge $40 a shirt just to make $3.
Which in the off-road scene, no fucking way. No way.
I can't tell you how many times, like with my trail bags, I first started out with spider web shade.
Right.
And they cost me $65 shipped to my door.
That's insane.
I sold them for $70.
That's not even enough to cover shipping.
Yeah. At Trail Hero 2 years ago, people would come up and they'd be like, dude, I love this bag. It's so great. Like, how much? And I'd be $70. Oh, that's ridiculous. You're absurd. This is insane. I'm like, dude, it cost me $65.
And that's in person. That's not even you shipping it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, like, shout out to Sackett Co. because he solved all my issues on that. Now we've got these trail bags for, you know, half the cost.
Yeah.
And it's no issue. But I wish I could find that breakthrough on the hats, on the shirts and everything. So that, because I don't like charging people ridiculous prices for merchandise that isn't worth it. You know what I mean?
And
like, we all want a comfy, badass shirt, but we don't want to pay $40 for it.
Exactly.
Unless I'm standing in line at King of the Hammers to buy a King of the Hammers shirt.
That's like, why I, you know, love you so much. Everything you're saying is exactly all of the things that I struggle with.
Yeah, like, there's not a single one of us that does this that doesn't struggle with that, you know. And if they don't, then they don't care.
Yeah, like I have a hard time charging $55 for a hoodie, like shipped $55. I am barely making any money. And I still feel guilty about it because it is that hoodie has to be fucking mint. If I'm going to spend my $55 on it, that hoodie better be fucking bitching.
Yeah, dude. Exactly.
And then if you get down to the price point of like $35, $40, the quality of the hoodie is fucking trash.
Yeah. You wash it one time and it changes two sizes, you know?
Exactly.
Now you got a crop top.
the sleeves are like this.
Yeah, dude. Like,
it catches on fire too, way too easily.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's garbage.
Yeah. But then it's like, nobody's going to pay for it. Like, I understand why good shit costs money, but I'm not going to spend that money.
Yeah. It's tough, dude. It's tough. Like, it's a balancing act, and I am terrible with balance.
Oh, I'm so bad. So bad. But like terrible, you said, we just need to get, you know, 20,000 from the bank, get some shit in stock, and then let it fucking eat from there.
Yeah, just pray that you sell out right away, double your money, and then, all right, now let's take out 40 grand. Let's take out 80 grand.
No. Oh, that would bite me in the dick so fast. I did that with a PayPal loan a while ago. So most of the PayPal loans that I've taken out through the business have been awesome. Paying back real quick, no issues. They've been little ones, like under $5,000. I took one out for, I think, $2,500 and, like, bought a whole bunch of fucking merchandise. I'm still paying that bitch off.
Oh, that no.
Fucking zeros across the board. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Damn it.
But it happened. It's legitimately a gamble. With a business, it's a gamble, and sometimes it doesn't pay off, and there's nobody to blame except the person behind the wheel, so.
Yeah, I just got to hope and pray that every time I drop a new stupid-ass sticker that somebody posted on TikTok and it goes viral.
And it goes viral.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is.
Awesome. Well, you let me know when that new shit drops because everything that APOC does, I'm all about it. Like, I think what I'm going to have to do is I'm just going to have, you send me his Venmo or his PayPal, and I'm just going to have to send him the $500 to be like, hey, I'm over here. Look at me. And then go from there. But you let me know. Also, when you have links for that shit, give it to me so I can post it on my shit.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
I love you, man. I miss you. God damn it.
I miss you too, bro. I miss you too, man. It's been too long.
Way too long.
I have your package that I ordered from you sitting on my desk over there. that I'm still going to open and make a video of the stickers that I ordered.
Oh, you made a video for me,
but I haven't made one for you yet.
That's right. I did a TikTok. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Maybe one of those will go viral. I don't know.
Oh, if only.
Yeah. No kidding.
Good shit. Well, it was amazing talking to you, man. We had no plan. Just chit-chatting. Like we're sitting around drinking a beer at Trail Hero. Yeah. Just hanging out.
That's the way I like it, man. It seems to work the best that way.
You're definitely, I shouldn't say definitely because it's like a year away. Trail Hero is on your docket.
100%. Okay. I will be there. No matter what, we will be at Trail Hero.
I will see if I can make something happen to get out there because I fucking miss you guys.
Oh, do it, man. Even if you got to fly into St. George, let me know, dude. I'll go pick you up.
So, real quick before we go, I flew into St. George. That is the quaintest, most cleanest, most cutest little airport I have ever been in.
Yeah?
It was adorable, dude. It was like an airport, but small. It was like a movie set.
If you like small, cute, quainty little airports, fly into Albuquerque. I guarantee you, you will not say it is clean.
Oh, no.
You'll be like, there's so much trash and meth around here.
The meth capital of the country. Awesome, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Plug your shit real quick, your socials and your website.
Yeah, beenotbaby.com. You can get these Serape hats, all of our stickers. I'm on TikTok. I don't even know what my TikTok is, like Best of Weston or something. Yes. I couldn't even do a Beat Not Baby TikTok because somebody else already made a Beat Not Baby TikTok.
Bitches.
So, yeah. At beat_not_baby on Instagram.
Support the homies. Yeah.
Give us a follow. Send us your stupid videos and become famous.
And send them your money too.
Yeah, and help me make money off of these stupid stickers that everybody seems to love.
Hell yeah. All right, dude. Well, thank you so much. This podcast will probably be up in the morning because I have no life and I wake up at 4 a.m.
Awesome. I can't wait, buddy.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Love you, dude.
Love you too, dude. Bye.